The first text I'd like to share with you comes from the book of Job in chapter 5 and verses 17 through 27. Let us together hear God's word. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal. From six troubles he will deliver you, even in seven evil will not touch you. In famine he will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, neither will you be afraid of violence when it comes. You will laugh at violence and famine, and neither will you be afraid of wild beasts, for you will be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field will be at peace with you. And you will know that your tent is secure, and you will visit your abode and fear no loss. You will also know that your descendants will be many, and your offspring as the grass of the earth. You will come to the grave in full vigor, like the stacking of grain in its season. Behold this, we have investigated it. Thus it is. Hear it and know for yourself. Our second text is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verses 1 through 13. Let us again together hear God's word. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which we have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I sometimes go grocery shopping or to the store, sometimes I catch a glimpse of a busy parent or grandparent along with a small child. And many times, that child will see something that he or she likes on display and will ask for it. Maybe even beg for a particular piece of candy or some toy. And if the child doesn't get exactly what he or she wants, loud and obnoxious sounds and behavior can follow. The child will ask and ask again, very persistently, then maybe throw a temper tantrum in front of everyone with alligator tears falling from their eyes because they've learned something about their parents. They should never stop trying. And how have they learned this lesson of persistence? Because parents occasionally grow weary of the battle and periodically give in, even after saying no again and again and again. Parents compromise merely because they want a little peace. And they even justify it, concluding that all they really wanted was this little toy, this little bag of candy. Was that so bad? It's certainly made for peace and quiet publicly. But what's worse is the parent may even decide that it was really love, their love for their child, that caused them to compromise and to give in to them. Now, God knows that we all need to be persistent. We need to knock on the door until it's open to us in prayer, Jesus said. But that kind of persistence is not intended to be about what we desire or what we lust for, but about what God desires. It isn't love, therefore, that requires and pressures people into compromising the truth. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. And so the writer of the Hebrews reminds us not to grow weary and not to lose heart in our striving against what is wrong and what is evil. We are never in this struggle to give up. Never, never, never give in or give up. Today's message, never, never, never give up. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for teaching us that we are never to give up on the truth of the Word of God, and we are never to give up on you. And so, Lord, help us not to give in and to compromise with those things, for we will surely feel the effects of them in our lives and in the lives of our children and family. Lord, may we trust in you and show our love by our devotion to you and to one another. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Years ago, my wife and I took a vacation to England and Scotland, and there were historic reminders everywhere, powerful reminders of our roots and our ancestors. But no matter where I've been, there is nothing like being on American soil. And no matter what church I have attended, I am happiest and most content in a church that closely follows Christ and acts upon his words. I'm very happy to be with you this morning at CPC. Many of the churches that we saw in Europe were dying or have completely died, and there was nothing left but empty hulls of what they once were. Of course, when I think about the spiritual condition today of many churches in America, I grieve. I'm very discouraged. I want to warn them that if they give up on God's word and on the Lord himself, they will end up just dying like the rest of the churches that die. And we are perhaps already there, it seems like. The theological, political, and cultural battles in the church can be stressful and can cause some serious health consequences. Sometimes people feel like ignoring all of this because it's just too hard to do anything about it, other than to just give in, compromise. Sometimes we can become so weary of the persistence over and over again that we just want to give up. And yet, as weary as I can be at times, I'm even more tired of compromise. I'm more tired of compromise in my life and in the life of my congregation. As weary as I am, I'm more discouraged about good people giving up when they're worn out. I desperately want peace, just like anyone, but peace at all cost is not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. True unity in God comes from the peace of Christ, not from just agreeing to disagree. Unity comes from following Jesus, not from simply giving in to the political stresses and powers that be. Now, the Lord knows that we all need a break from time to time and to rest in the Lord. That is the Sabbath rule. We need peace. But the Lord doesn't tell any of his people to give in to sin or to temptation, or to give up the truths of his word in order to get your peace. Our nation was not founded by people who gave up their principles when they were tried, but rather they stood firmly against what was harmful and evil and unjust. And that wasn't easy. There was much resistance, even by the very colonists they were trying to free. The very colonists were sometimes British loyalists, the Tories. Did you know that President Madison's declaration of war against Great Britain occurred on June the 1st, 1812, and it was not popular with many Americans? The first year of conflict brought a series of shattering American defeats, and many Americans were already willing to concede to England. New England was in a virtual state of secession from the Union of our colonies. The governor of Vermont ordered the state militia to resign from national service, and in Massachusetts, there was talk of negotiating a separate peace treaty with Great Britain. Now, after threatening for a year, the British finally attacked the nation's capital in August of 1814. While President Madison rode out to the battlefield in an attempt to instill confidence in those untrained troops, the citizens of Washington streamed out of the city into Virginia. Even the militia assigned to protect the White House deserted their posts. But First Lady Dolly Madison refused to budge. Before the White House was burned, Dolly saved her husband's papers, a framed copy of the Declaration of Independence, and a valuable portrait of George Washington. She stubbornly remained in the White House until the troops were only several hours away. And then she directly returned to the White House just as soon as Madison sent word that the British had left Washington. Dolly's dramatic rescue of George Washington's portrait silenced her husband's critics and helped to infuse the once divided nation with a new spirit. And when the news of the British burning the White House spread among all the people, people who had been denouncing the war and talking surrender promptly, abruptly changed their minds. And while there were many other factors that contributed to the end of the war, the British were confronted by a more united, determined American people. And eventually, the British acquiesced to a peace treaty less than 6 months later. Throughout the scriptures, the Lord tells his people to never give up in their epic struggle against wrong. This age-old struggle helps to unite us as God's church. It is only when we grow weary and give up on God's truth that the church becomes fractured, and Satan gains the upper hand, and we lose our witness before the world. And yet God has promised that those who endure the fight He will divinely strengthen until that victory is won. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 has these words, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." Maybe you are discouraged today, or you're struggling against something that's wrong, unjust in your life or in your culture. Maybe it's costing you a great deal to struggle against it. It's a sacrifice. And perhaps you're asking yourself, well, if this is the Lord's will, why do I have to endure so much, and why does it cost me so much time and effort? There's got to be an easier way. We reason sometimes that the Lord surely wants peace in our lives, and the path to compromise is easier. Friends, it's always easier just to allow yourself to be carried downstream instead of rowing against the currents. But we are encouraged and given divine power towards not growing weary, not losing heart, and acting on behalf of the Lord's will. And it isn't that we are not to grow weary at all, even. Everyone grows weary physically. Our Lord said once, "Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Rather, we are never to grow weary in our spirits. We are never to lose heart. Therefore, we are never to give up on what we know that God has placed within us. Why? Because we're not to give up on God and His Word. Now, there are times when my faith requires something of me that isn't easy to give. Begrudgingly at times, I admit, I may sacrifice my time or energy. And I wonder how much more the Lord will require of me. What is it today, Lord? Sometimes I feel like I've sacrificed enough and I've given plenty enough. Sometimes I get so tired I can't give any more. The flesh is weak. How much does God want anyway? And then these beautiful divine words find their way into my heart and mind again. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. For that is what Jesus did for me. Jesus resisted evil to the point that he shed his blood for my sins. What is it that you are struggling with that God would divinely strengthen you in order for you to be victorious if you would never give up? Never give up on what is right and good. It is not God's will for us to give up on his truth or him. None of us have resisted evil to the point our Lord did. You see, the message from God is that he will also never, never, never give up on us. His effectual salvation in our lives, he will never take away. God is with us, and he knows how to rescue you and me. No matter how long it may take, God is patient with us. God will grant us the victory. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor desert you. Jesus will never, never, never give up on you. For years, William Wilberforce pushed Britain's Parliament to abolish slavery. Completely discouraged, he was about to give up, but his elderly friend John Wesley heard of that, his discouragement. And from his deathbed, he called for pen and paper. It was to be his last letter. And with trembling hand, John Wesley wrote, "Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God?" His letter also contained the following words, "Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and the power of his might until American slavery shall vanish away before it." John Wesley died 6 days later. But William Wilberforce did not give up. He fought for 42 more years. And in 1833, 3 days before his own death, he finally saw slavery abolished in Great Britain. Dietrich Bonhoeffer could have easily despaired with all that he endured during World War II. He was imprisoned for a year and a half. His circumstances made his words even more poignant and powerful. He wrote to a friend in 1944, "The only fight that is lost is that which we give up." These words reflect the Christian belief that if God is in truth and goodness, he's going to win the victory through the people who believe in that truth and goodness and rely upon God and who do not give up on him. Brothers and sisters, the message in Hebrews is completely different than the compromises and the Protestant indulgences, if you will, that you hear being touted today. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? For if you were without discipline, of which we have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Winston Churchill visited his school, Harrow School, his alma mater, on October the 29th, 1941, just weeks before the Pearl Harbor attack, to hear the traditional songs that he had sung as a youth, as well as to speak to the students. Winston Churchill then gave a speech, and as the main point of his speech, he declared, "Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy, unquote. Again and again throughout Churchill's political career, he had known big setbacks, difficult, impossible obstacles. During World War II, in Britain's darkest hours, it was not certain that England would be able to stand against Hitler. And Churchill kept encouraging the people of England over and over, saying again and again, never give in. Never give in. In our own nation of America, our greatest founding fathers and mothers understood that the God of our salvation never asks us ever to compromise on the truth. In fact, we would not be celebrating our independence as a nation if our founding forefathers and mothers had compromised on what they knew to be right. Our forefathers forged the foundation for this nation and made a vow in their Declaration of Independence. And can't you hear that determination in these grand and inspired words? And for the support of this declaration with firm reliance in the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. It is my prayer that all of us would mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to the declaration of God's word through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. That's my prayer. And yet still, unfortunately, there will always be people who will not do so. But they have become Tories of the state of this world, but not colonists of the kingdom of God. Many like you and like me have faced setbacks. Please point to the person in the room whom you know for certain has never had to experience any trials or temptations or difficulty, has never been tempted to compromise. Money talks so loudly for some people that most folks simply decide the way to go in their lives based upon the way that brings in the most money, salary, or power. And they justify it all for the sake of their families accordingly. Over and over again for decades, I was told by the powers that be, just stay quiet about this issue and that one. Don't rock the boat. If you would only preach a little more moderately, you'd be fine. You wouldn't have any serious issues with us or with the church, and you'd also be successful in your ministry and in your church. But just think about those statements for a mere second. They were obvious lies and were certainly anti-Christian sentiments. We are never successful in God's kingdom when we compromise the word of God. We are never successful in God's eyes when we stay silent about the gospel and dance with the devil or let the devil have his way. We are only successful when we never, never, never give up on God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. This is God's encouragement from his word. This is from our Lord. Never, never, never give up. To God be all the praise and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, grant us the courage. Grant us your presence. Grant us your divine power that we may resist even to the point of shedding blood against sin. Lord, we pray that we would stand true even to the end. Lord, have your way with us. Have your way with this nation. For we trust in you. And we pledge to one another and to you our lives, our fortunes, and our honor. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.